Welcome back to the Home CEO Podcast, where we take less mess, less stress, and turn it into more success for all of our homemaking joys. I'm your host, Nicole Jakes. Feeling like the modern day living has zapped all the fun right out of your life? Well, meet Snedgy, affectionately known as the modern Nona. She's your new best friend in the kitchen and your home. She has a vibrant following of over 4 million food enthusiasts, and Snedgy blends her childhood flavors from Bulgaria and Greece with her current Toronto vibes to whip up healthier modern recipes that perk up your palate. She's not just about feeding your stomach, though. She aims to empower you to become a modern home CEO, transforming your home and kitchen into a happier, healthier, and definitely more fun space. This girl gives me so many laughs. So get ready to take notes because she's full of practical tips that will leave you and your kitchen rejuvenated.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me as one of your guests. I am not only a guest, but I am your social media and real life bestie. So I'm just so honored to be here.
So Snedgy and I met officially face to face just a few months ago at Expo West. We went together and Snedgy was like, I'm on vacay. And I was like, I'm here to work. And by the time I was done, I was on a boat, whale watching, not working.
We were actually tarp watching. We weren't even whale watching.
You have to catch this clip. We have it in a highlight of our LA trip. You have to go on Snedgy's page and watch it. There was a tarp in the water and we all thought it was a whale and we were ooing and aahing at the tarp.
Because Captain Larry told us, 1 o'clock, you guys, there's a whale right there. And we were like, oh my God, he's coming. He's here. He's coming closer. And it ended up being a tarp.
It was ridiculous. But that is what I get with Snedgy. It's unpredictable. It's always fun. And it's like a big warm hug. You are totally that for me.
Oh.
So now I get to talk about you, which is so exciting for me. So you have over 4 million followers on your social media platforms. You have taught me to eat and live like a Greek in more dish recipes than I can count. My husband basically now thinks I'm a Greek. And if I have a few minutes, I can whip my kids up a banana loaf with just one banana that's going bad. I mean, Snedgy teaches you how to make the most out of everything in your kitchen, and her recipes are divine. How did you get started?
So I was born and raised in Bulgaria, and my family and I lived in Greece for quite some time on an island in Kritis, which is Crete. And shortly after, we came to Canada. Life brought us to Canada as refugees. So we had very humble beginnings for a really, really long time. And I'll never forget my first time when, you know, food came into my life again, because food has always been a part of my life. It has always been a part of my upbringing and my childhood. I can remember, you know, weekends and days being in the kitchen with my grandmothers, you know, making phyllo and pastries and, you know, all kinds of baked goods and all kinds of different recipes. But when I came to Canada and I was, you know, in my crazy teenage party years, I wanted to do nothing that had to do with food. So I didn't even want to cook or think about food or do anything. So I had like a nice long stretch of not cooking or being involved in the kitchen. And in my 20s, in my early 20s, when I was 22, 23 years old, my mom was going through a tough time. We had an accounting firm at the time. And she was going through a really tough time in her life, and she kind of stopped cooking. So I stepped into the kitchen in that moment, and I took over. At the time, what no one knows on here and social media, and this is why I'm going to share this with you, I had an ex-boyfriend, and I was like head over heels trying to impress him. And when I started cooking, I started actually taking pictures of my food. At the time, I think it was like an iPhone 3G. It was like the very first iPhone ever. The pictures were blurry. The quality was really bad. But I started taking these photos and I started sending it to him kind of in a way to impress him, because no one really in my 20s was cooking. Like none of my friends were. We were out there partying and clubbing and doing all these things. So I said, okay, let me, you know, make bruschetta. Let me make an apple pie and send it to him, or to even to his family. I would send his mom and his family like platters of food, just to kind of impress the family in a way. But it shortly turned into a lifelong passion, because when I immersed myself into the food and into creating, I really cured a lot in myself internally and my mental health. At the time, I was getting severe panic attacks and anxiety, and I started feeling better and better, and I started becoming more excited about food and creating. So I was posting on Facebook on my personal page, which I no longer use. I was posting for quite some time. And when I saw that people were actually interested in getting a recipe, I wasn't posting a recipe. I would just post photos of my food. I thought, okay, let me just like bring it over to Instagram. And once I brought it over to Instagram, the same thing happened. And I thought to myself, okay, now let me start an Instagram business page. And that's how it all evolved, basically, from my early 20s, from an ex-boyfriend, from my mom, you know, going through a hard period in her life. And I truly believe that everything happened for a reason.
Right. I mean, like there was a sign, a pivot in your life that then took food at the forefront. And now you share it with millions of people.
Millions.
We're not talking 10,000. You have millions of people clued into the modern Nona that, like me, I'm learning how to eat and live like an Italian or eat and live like a Greek in my house. You're teaching me. I love it.
And if you have one banana left over and a few minutes to spare, you can make the healthiest.
It's true.
You can do a lot with one banana. You can do a lot with one banana. That's all I'm saying.
You can do a lot with a cup of blueberries. I mean, the amount of times my daughter comes over and she's like, we only have this much left of cereal. Can you turn it into a cake? Is ridiculous. I'm like, yes. Let me contact Aunt Snedgy in Canada and I will ask her about how much one handful of cereal can make for a cake. Hilarious. But it works.
Like, your
recipes work. They're delicious. They're simple. They're humble. But they're so good.
I'm so happy you love them.
They're so good. How do you think of all of these ideas? What inspires you to make a recipe and then share it?
Oh, this is tough because I've actually reached a period in my life now. I would say it took about a decade to get here to actually start being really creative and start to, like yesterday, I was cutting lemons and I thought, oh my God, this is genius. No one else has ever done this. I'm going to do this. And the idea just came to me. I was cutting lemons in the kitchen, but this creative aspect did not come for a long, long time. It was probably, you know, like I said, about a decade. And how I first started was inspiration through my family, through my grandma, through my mom's. Those were all my mom's recipes or my grandma's recipes, things that my mom learned in Greece. When we lived in Greece, like all the women and the wives of all the husbands taught my mom how to cook Greek authentic food. So I started sharing all of her recipes. And first, my ideas weren't my own ideas. I had a little twist on them. And I would cook with like healthier ingredients, such as avocado oil. And I would start swapping things. And instead of frying, I would start baking. Those were kind of my little ideas. But the initial idea and inspiration was always my family and those around me, whether it was a cooking show that I watched, like Jamie Oliver, one of my biggest inspirations, or once again, my friends and family. But I would say once I hit my 30s, something just clicked. And now I have all of these ideas flowing through me. It just became so natural, but it was a long process to get here for sure. And now everything inspires me and everyone inspires me. Even going to Mexico, I had the best avocado hummus ever made by Chef Roberto Solis. And I came home and I made a version of avocado hummus. So you could get inspired anywhere.
This is what I love. I don't have to go to Mexico. I'm not going to wait for you to post the recipe and then make it in my home. If you want to eat and live like you're in Mexico, here you go.
Exactly.
Like that's what they need.
But I still want to go to Mexico with you, though. I still want to go ziplining with you in Mexico.
The ziplining looked so fun. Okay. You are the modern for sure, but you are not a Nona. So explain to me the name behind the name. Tell me everything.
So my very first name given by some of my friends was actually Six Course Meals. Six with like a six in front of it because we're in the six. We're in Toronto. And that only stuck around for a week. We gave it 1 week and then it was gone. Then after that, I was actually Basically Tasty. So I thought, okay, that's actually a cute name. I do like Basically Tasty. So that one kind of stuck around, I would say, for about a year or two. And one day I was cooking on Stories and I was making traditional authentic Italian sauce, which we call sugo. And I was making it with meatballs. And instead of frying the meatballs, I was baking them. And instead of using like canola or veggie oil that a nonna would use, I was using avocado oil. So I went on Stories and I said, oh my God, you guys, I'm the modern nonna because I'm making something more modern that a traditional nonna or a grandma would make. So the name is actually a really cute play on words. that I love to cook recipes that are traditional to a nonna or to a grandma or to a yaya in Greek, and put my own modern twist on them. And the name stuck with me. I actually still have that video from my stories from that day when the name came about. And I truly do feel there's no other name that would be more suited for me than the modern nonna.
I love it. And I love you.
I love you.
That is such a good story. This is just a great reminder that sometimes it all comes together at the right time. If you don't force it and kind of surrender to the process, it'll just come. And when it does, it'll hit and it'll be perfectly right for you and all the success that you've had with the name. I mean, the modern nonna is a good one, but you are not a nonna.
No, I don't have kids and they don't have kids. And I'm 34. Is that possible? Can someone do the math here for me? Could be possible, but I'm 34.
I mean, it could be, but there's going to have to be some questions and I'm going to have to speak to the doctor about that. Okay, if you had one magical power in the kitchen, what would it be?
It would be to have all the ingredients prepped for me. So I am not a big fan of like cutting the onions, the cucumber, the carrots, doing the whole mirepoix, the mise en place. I just have it all done for me so that I could just start cooking and creating, because creating is my favorite part of this process. Cooking is very therapeutic and cutting and chopping is very therapeutic. I do love it when I'm in the zone or I have some music playing, but one magical power, just prep those ingredients for me.
Mine would be that the dishes clean themselves, like, you know, in Beauty and the Beast, like, where is that? And I know everyone's going to say the dishwasher, but it's not as good as just someone hand doing them. So this actually brings me to my next question is, what do you use your dishwasher for? Because this is one of the little snedgy-isms I just love about you. This is the nonna in you, not the modern nonna.
How do you exactly? This is the nonna in me, because I do have a real life nonna in my life, and she always stored her bags in the dishwasher. And pretty much 10 years ago, I thought, oh my God, that's brilliant. Why don't I store my bags? My bags are always out. They always look messy. They're under the counter or they're somewhere else stashed. Let me just, since I'm not using my dishwasher, let me put all my bags in the dishwasher. And that's what I do. When I do want to use my dishwasher once a year, I just take them out, use the dishwasher, and they go right back in.
When are you using the dishwasher one time a year? Like after a big holiday meal or just like the one day?
Basically,
like, screw it. Today's the day. We use the dishwasher.
Once or twice a year after a big holiday. That would be the only time, though. Everything else, like scrubbing, I need to feel the dishes. I need to make sure I need the water to like be burning my hands. You know, I have to feel like make sure that there's no oil. It's just, it's madness. I have to get better at this, though. I really do want to.
Yeah, the dishwasher is like the love of my life. I mean, I would trade a lot of things for like multiple dishwashers. I asked my husband when we remodeled, can we put in four? Like, I don't. How many dishwashers can this house fit? I love my dishwasher.
I hear it's magical.
It's magical. But this one time a year really had me thinking, like, every home CEO does things different. And this is why I love this pod, because I view it as the village. You know, you don't have, everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to buy a house, I'm going to know how to do it all, I'm going to have kids, I'm going to create a family, I'm going to know how to do it all. But I remember doing that myself, thinking, where's my village? So this is why we created the Home CEO. And I love to hear how other home CEOs do things different than me, like the dishwasher.
I'll get better, okay, I promise.
I know you will. Okay, one house rule you enjoy breaking. Now, this could be something that like society says we have to do it this way and you don't. The dishwasher was a good one, to be honest. But one house rule that you enjoy breaking?
Would leaving my clothes upstairs piled on the ottoman count as one? Because that is one that I don't know. I don't know why I can't get past that. I don't know why I can't wake up in the morning and fold my clothes nicely and just put them in the closet. Instead, I decide to pile them on my ottoman and then do this at night. That would be one for me.
I don't think you're alone. I think there are a lot of home CEOs that have a spot that is unconventional that they just like pile clothes on, but we don't know why.
Everything else is spotless. I'm so organized in every other area of my life, but that one ottoman has me in a chokehold.
I love it. You say you're very organized. What are some organizational tips that you can share with people here?
When it comes to the kitchen, I would really invest in, you know, different containers or spice jars and making the space that you're in the most just as clean and as tidy as can be, because that is just going to alleviate so much stress. When I go into the cabinet, I know that, you know, my sugar and my flour is there, or my spices are labeled. Trust me, a lot of times things can get really chaotic here in my kitchen. And that is when I stress out the most and I feel the most overwhelmed. I feel like when I have a nice clean kitchen and everything is ready for me and labeled, that would be my one tip and advice, you know, for anybody that's cooking, just to bring some ease into your life.
Absolutely. I think having an organized kitchen helps you get your meal on the table faster, easier, and cleaner. I agree. It's one of those, you know, for the longest time, I would just let my dishes sit overnight and then I would clean them in the morning.
Yeah.
And I stopped doing that. And I feel like it just made the start of my day so much clearer. So
exactly. You wake up on such a good note, right? If anybody needs help with that, that's also not a bad thing. So for those of you that have been following me for a really long time, you saw that I did get help with organization, because my life with the business and the team growing, it was just chaotic. So I did have some help with organizing my kitchen a little bit when it came to the spices and the pantry and all of that. So there's nothing wrong in getting help in that area too, because it's just going to make life a breeze and it's going to make you so much peaceful and happier. I was edgy and I would be bickering and fighting with people. It just brought out the worst side of me.
You're not alone. That is something for me too. Hey there, home CEOs. Tired of playing Guess the Origin with your meat at the grocery store? Well, I was too. You know, where you squint at the labels and hope the meat's travel history isn't more exotic than yours. I want to introduce you to Good Ranchers. This one, I've done the homework so you don't have to. They're born and bred right here in the USA, and their meat is as local as your favorite coffee shop. So since 2018, they've been bringing families back to the dinner table, where all great change in America starts. With Good Ranchers, you're not just ordering the finest cut of USDA prime beef, chicken, and wild-caught seafood. You're also giving the boot to the mystery meat imports and supporting American farms. Subscribe today and save $25 on every order. That's right. Keep your wallet and your belly full with Good Ranchers American meat delivered, because good food is where the home is. Good Ranchers is the official sponsor and freezer staple for the home CEO and Nicole Jakes. Now, let's get back to the show.
How have your platforms changed your life? Like you just mentioned, naturally you're very organized, but then you've had to call in help, which is kind of against our personality traits, right? Asking for help is difficult. But how has these platforms changed your life?
Oh, they have completely turned my life upside down, 360. Everything has changed. And to be honest, it not only started with Instagram, but it started after my grandma passed away. I went through a really rough period where both of my grandmas actually passed. And a couple of months later, I posted my grandma's recipe on TikTok, her no-knead bread, which is actually called a peasant bread. It's just a simple bread that she made for many years in Bulgaria with 10 of her siblings when there were no resources around. And that bread hit 50. I closed the app. I woke up the next morning and it was at 15 million. And I'll never forget that, because that was really like the blow up of social media for me and the start of everything for me. It changed my life. And I definitely believe that she had something to do with it, with that recipe. But in terms of now how it has changed my life, life is just crazy. I have a hard time finding balance. Balance is really hard. I'm still trying to figure it all out and just be in this crazy world.
You're not alone. I think balance is probably the biggest thing. When you become a CEO, but you've been a home CEO for so long, and there's this balance between how do you do it all? How do you keep your nest, your home? It's also your office. Because we clearly do the same thing. It's like, how do you keep it all together? What are some of your wellness tips or tricks? Like, what are some things you've invested in to make you your best self through the chaos?
So especially this year, 2024, I have invested so much in myself. Well, at least a minimum of 2 hours a day, And I didn't have that before. I had maybe 15 minutes. I would be running between sets and just eating my food or eating the food on set and then just going into something else. And I do work 7 days a week. Some nights go until midnight on the blog. So this year especially, I said, I am my biggest investment. I need to pour into my own cup so that I am able to pour into other people's cups and be able to be available there for them and to be able to create. Because as you know, burnout is very real. So now walking, I don't, you know, skip a day without going on my walk or going to the gym. even slowing down for a couple of minutes to do some breath work and just to, you know, connect with myself and connect with nature when I'm outside. Just being in nature, I feel like we find our creativity and so many ideas start to flow when we disconnect from social media or, you know, tech in general. I just feel it's so important to find that balance, because when I did work my 9 to 5, it was 9 to 5. 5 o'clock, you check out and then you have your sports and then your fun and then your friends and then your mall or movies. Now there's no disconnect. After 5, I'm like, okay, let me reply to this person. I feel bad. Let me help them out here. They're asking for a recipe here. I have a team that's also waiting on me on different time zones. You know, everyone's pretty much around the world. Not everyone's in Canada on my team. So you're never disconnecting from your phone. So it's very challenging, but you have to make the time, whether it's during the day or at night, and just unplug and take that time for yourself, even if it's just an hour.
I agree. What is your favorite room in your home?
Ooh, my favorite room in my home. I was going to say my kitchen, but that's a given. That is a given.
Yeah.
But it's not. I'm going to say my living room, because I have my filming area right here to the right of me on the side beside the window. And that is where I create my recipes, but not only create, I stage. And that is my favorite part of this business, is really immersing myself into the colors and the textures and making something look really pretty, you know, taking those shots on video. And that's just my favorite spot, because it takes me away from everything that's going on. I'm just with myself, with my thoughts, and I'm being creative in that moment.
That is so true. And you can feel that passion on your page. I mean, I was a follower before a friend. I slid into your DMs and was like, hey, I'm a creator now and we're going to be friends. I'm like, look at.
And I was like, hell yes, we are going to be friends. I was like, yes, we are.
And when can I meet? And where are we going? What are we doing? I loved it.
And then we booked a house together, and here we are.
And here we are on a pod. I mean, who knew? Okay, if you're competing in a cooking show, which we all know you have a fear of being on TV, but let's just pretend the camera's off, okay? You're going to compete on a cooking show with a chef. What chef is that going
to
be?
Ooh, to compete with a chef? So he's pulling the same team?
You are on the same team. Who are you pulling in as your chef?
Jamie Oliver. I just feel like he's so creative. I don't think I've seen him on cooking competitive shows, though, before. But Jamie Oliver would be one if he would ever do that. Oh, my God. Gordon Ramsay, we could swear at each other. Yes, Ramsay's a good one. We could just, like, tell each other. Well, he would tell me off, and then I'd go cry in a corner, but, you know? I would say Gordon Ramsay for sure. That would be awesome.
I have a feeling you could hold your own against Gordon Ramsay. I mean, I have met you. I've seen you. I feel like you could hold your own. I don't think you cry in the corner with that man. I think you could. No.
I would faint when I got on the show, though, because you know my stage fright with live TV. I just faint. I'd be like, hi, Gordon, and that's it. I wouldn't make it a live TV, but definitely. Let's say Gordon Ramsay, Jamie Oliver. There's so many great ones out there. So many role models.
So many role models. And that's really where it comes from, right? We're inspired by maybe generational cooking like you were. And then there are these outside sources that we just gain inspiration from. I feel like that's why people come to social media now, right? Can you talk to me about your community and what your community on your social platforms means to you?
Everything, Nicole, everything. If there's one thing that anyone knows about me, whether it's my close friends or my team, they know that I'm investing a couple of hours a day minimum just talking to my community. I would not be here without them. I have some of the deepest conversations in my DMs. They have shared some of their most personal moments with me, whether it's someone that's going through cancer, someone that's going through anxiety, or anything that's happening in their life. When I lost, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years now, I lost 5 family members that were very close to me. And in those moments, they were there for me, whether it was just like through prayer or sending love or sending DMs or sharing their personal stories with me or telling me like their ways of how to, you know, there's no right or wrong way in grieving, but they would share their tips with me. So I have such a deep rooted connection, and I don't know a lot of people do, to be honest, because you can be really detached on social media, but I'm a huge empath. I'm very compassionate. I'm a huge empath. So if you, you know, show me your feelings and emotions, I'm going to feel that deep down inside. And I really do feel that they have just they mean everything to me. So I want to give back to them as much as possible. And the magic happens in your DMs and in those personal conversations. So I am very much aware and humbled that I am here and doing what I'm doing because of them.
I have the same thing. And I invest at least 2 hours in my direct messages just to chat with the community. I feel like a lot of people use social media as some sort of like glamour. And it's just not that for me. It's about the connection and the community. And you and I share that passion that we've created our own village, really, in our social media communities. And when we were discussing creating a podcast, I thought, who views this the same way, right? Like, we are all missing pieces and we need help from other people. Where can we find that help? And social media provides that gap in a lot of people's lives. And so I just love that it's you DMing me back.
Oh, me too. The feelings are mutual. And community is everything. It's everything. It's the building blocks to what we're doing. Our community is why we are doing this. I'm not doing this for anybody else. You know, of course, there's always going to be selfish reasons when you do something, you do it for yourself. But this is not about that. It's about doing something much bigger than that. Being able to, you know, be in someone's kitchen and, you know, I'm bringing them back home to their roots. Maybe they enjoyed this pastina recipe with their nonna or nonno or grandma or grandmother, and they're no longer around. So making that recipe just brings them back home and it gives them some sort of light and joy. So it's just so much more than that. And people say you can't make deep connections on social media. I would say completely the opposite. I've made some of my deepest connections through social media, including with you.
That's true. I mean, we're sitting here friends now. We talk every day. If there's a day we don't hear from each other, we're like, safety word, are you all right? Roger, that.
Yeah, mayday, mayday.
It's so true. Have you ever had a kitchen disaster and you're just standing there like, oh my gosh, did that just happen to me? Like, give me a little bit behind the scenes in your kitchen or share a kitchen disaster that like is a memory you really remember.
I have had a lot of kitchen disasters, including one about a month or two ago when my oven caught on fire. So that was really fun, you know, because I panicked in the moment. And what do you do during a fire? I have no idea what to do during a fire. So I just closed it and I waited. I turned it off, waited for the fire to subside. But that was just one moment of panic. I've had eggs explode on me and like hit the ceiling and just explode everywhere. Because I left them on the stove and they obviously dried up. There's just so many kitchen disasters, but it's all part of the process.
It's so true. I was making a Marionberry like syrup to pour over a pound cake and the blender lid came off and I had Marionberry all over my backsplash, all over me. Like, good thing I'm good at stain remover. But honestly, like, I'll never forget the day that the kitchen was Marionberry.
But if there's anyone that can clean that up, it's you. I don't trust anybody else to know how to clean it up with like all your natural solutions and hacks. No, it's you're the person to do that.
So this is what I tell my husband. He's like, you're, you know, a little clumsy and you like to spill things on yourself. I'm like, that's why I'm good at cleaning. Like, I literally.
Exactly.
Like, one of my best tips is make sure to make yourself your own best friend. I've done that. And she's the best helper. The other side of me is such a good helper. I call her Nikki and she's real and it's a real thing. Okay.
Oh, I know Nikki. I saw Nikki. Yeah, Nikki comes out.
Okay, what is a secret ingredient that you swear by?
Ooh, secret ingredient, yogurt. Maybe not a secret to a lot of people, but in my culture and in a few other cultures, marinating meat and protein in yogurt, even sour cream, even mayo, makes for the most tender chicken thigh or whatever it is, or pork chops or, you know, any other type of meat, even beef as well. So we marinate a lot with yogurt, sour cream, or mayo. Mayo is a great marinade. Mayo is actually incredible for making grilled cheese sandwiches. Instead of putting butter on the outside, you put mayo and it makes them so nice and crispy. So I would say those are a couple. There's more for sure. Like honey Dijon mustard, I slip that everywhere. Into everything, into every marinade. It is beautiful. And I think I've introduced a lot of people into using honey Dijon mustard into their cooking and into baking as well.
It's that little sweet additive to the honey mustard.
Yes, it is. It is. It makes all the difference. It doesn't compare to just like regular mustard or Dijon mustard. You have to have the honey Dijon mustard, and it just changes everything.
That's so smart. I'm envisioning like salmon, chicken,
everything.
The things I could put that on. Tell me. Okay, so my secret ingredient really quick is kiwi. So to make meat tenderized, I chop up kiwi and I put it that has an enzyme in it. I know this is another one of those.
I need to take this.
Ruth. Yes. So you take the kiwi and chop it up. You put it on like, let's say, flank steak. It doesn't infuse flavor, but it tenderizes the meat perfectly because there's an enzyme in kiwi. And kiwi, I use, it has like more fiber than most fruits and vegetables. It's like a superfood that people are just like, oh, it's a kiwi. I actually use it to help with my digestion. I feel like it's a secret ingredient to food and just to your overall wellness.
So I love kiwi, but I've never thought about using it in a marinade. But now the wheels are spinning and I'm thinking if we blend that kiwi, we can use it in marinades instead of being chopped up.
It's a meat tenderizer, right? So it's like great for grilling season. You know, it's coming.
I'm going to try that. No, I'm trying that. If you see it on my page, just know it's happening.
Maybe we'll post on the same day. I'll do the meat tenderizer and you give them a recipe and we'll collab.
Yeah.
So Sneggy is one of those for me that we talk about how influencers or content creators need to collab more than compete. And this is a very interesting market to work in, needless to say.
It is. But
I will say that you are one of the biggest cheerleaders for the people that you love. You are always by their side and you never let them down. And above all of that, you truly believe in the collaboration over compete. I remember chatting with you and we were like, everyone at the top is collaborating and the people that are competing are on the bottom.
Exactly.
I think we need to view our home village the same way as home CEOs. I think that there's this attitude of if the team is collaborating, we're all winning.
Exactly. There's room for everyone to grow. There's so much room. That's what I always say. And I feel like when I show that even on my page or on my stories or when we do our trips together, collaborations, it really inspires other people to do the same. And sometimes, granted, I am an introvert, but I'm also an extrovert, so I'm an ambivert, right? That's what it's called?
That's what it's called.
But yeah. Some people are an introvert, so they kind of like to do things on their own. They're more shy, they're more timid, but I just feel like when we showcase those collaborations on the page, it's going to inspire them to just, you know, look at other creators and be like, yeah, that's amazing. Good job. I want to do that. Like, let's do it together. It's just such a good feeling being able to collaborate and being able to support each other, give each other advice. Maybe you're good at something, but I'm good at something else, and we can really help each other grow.
Totally. What are some inspirational words or things that you tell yourself to just keep going and stay motivated?
So a few things I tell myself. It's not really so much tell myself in the morning. I actually love to journal. So I like to write things down on paper, and I love to practice gratitude. So just writing down a few things that I'm really grateful for and putting things into perspective. I feel like when you write things down, you're putting this energy out into the universe. And even if you don't believe it in the moment, I know you're going to manifest it the more you write it out and the more you write it and put it out into the world.
I love that. I struggle to journal. I've got that like type A perfectionist, like ADHD kind of in me that like needs to get going. So I'm literally up in my bed or in my mirror like, you're the best. You can do it today.
And there's Wonder Woman pose as well. You hear Wonder Woman pose. If you stand in front of the mirror like Wonder Woman, you're just going to, you know, feel that so much more.
Yeah, it's like one of those. It's posturing, right? It's posturing what we want to feel and manifest and become and give to others, which is such a component that you and I both share. The similarity we both share is, how can we serve for other people and do and help other people? And we don't stop at just one person. We're not on here to just help one person. We're on here to help millions. I'm 4 million on social. Do you have a funny superstition?
Oh my God. I come from the land of superstitions. My grandma, she wouldn't sweep me with a broom. So when we're very old school and we back in the day and even now, so at one of our properties in the mountains in Bulgaria, we don't have vacuums or mops. We actually have those brooms with the wooden like bristles. I don't know what they're called. So she would sweep with those and she wouldn't sweep me and my feet just in case I married someone I wasn't supposed to marry. And of course, if a black cat crosses your road, there's a lot. Like no umbrellas in the house. you can't open an umbrella in the house. We always had that growing up. What else did we have in the house? No singing in the house because it's bad luck. You weren't able to sing in the house. So start singing out of nowhere while you're eating your meal. It was bad luck. There was a lot of these little superstitions that I grew up with. And what else? My dad. Oh, my dad. This is a big one with my dad. So whenever we're going on a trip together, because we love to road trip, dad and daughter trips happen all the time in Europe. I'll ask him, like, Dad, how long is it going to take us to get to this place? And he always says, whenever we get there, we'll get there. He will never put a time on anything just in case it doesn't happen. And I do that a lot on my page. So I won't announce that I'm going somewhere or I'm doing something before it happens, because I just have this like deep rooted belief that, you know, if it doesn't come into existence or into fruition, then I'm just backpedaling, you know, and, you know, you just never know what can happen in life. So those are a few. There's more, but those are a few.
Okay, I love them. I am going to remove all umbrellas from the house, and you're going to have to correct the singing. We sing a lot in this house. So
no, can work on that. Continue singing. I love singing. Continue singing. I do it on my walks. I dance and sing on my walks every single day. So if anybody sees me out there, just come give me a hug or come dance with me.
But outside the home, no singing in the home. That's so interesting. Okay, I love those. I'm so glad I asked. That was one of those random questions.
It was a rule, even though everybody did it. It's like people are still singing in the home. So, but it was just this like unspoken rule, like that it'll be bad luck. Oh, never. This is one I always do. Never putting your purse on the ground. Purse is always higher up because that, you know, symbolizes money and wealth and all of that, but never put your purse on the ground. I don't think I ever have in my life. I'll always like look at a table or a chair. I'll put it somewhere higher.
I love that. Okay, we're at the time in the show where I ask you truth or dare. And we do this specifically because as a home CEO, you have to be agile and pivot at a moment's notice.
Okay.
Like your oven catches on fire. I don't know, right? Truth or dare is a little bit of unpredictability. So Snedgy, truth or dare?
Truth.
Okay. People love truth. And I've got some good dares, but I'm going to get somebody.
Dare. Okay. Let's turn again. Pause and go. Let's do dare. I was going to go with dare and then I switched my mind. So let me go with my intuition.
We can do both. We're good. Which household chore do you secretly despise but always end up doing?
Cleaning the bathrooms.
Ugh.
I can't stand it. And nobody wants to do it. So I do it. I clean the bathrooms.
Cleaning the bathrooms.
I just don't like it. I don't know why I don't like it, but the bathrooms are going to have to be number one for me.
Okay, number one for you. Okay, dare, imitate how you react when you taste something delicious and when something tastes terrible. And I think this is so applicable to our last night group chat. This is all I could think about with this dare is imitate how you react when you taste something delicious. Go ahead, show us.
Okay, so I have my water here. We'll do something delicious. Oh my God, you guys, 500 out of 10. This is so good.
That is so you. Okay, and then now take a sip of that water and imitate that, like when something tastes terrible.
Oh God, no, just no, just no.
Hard no.
Yeah, minus 9,000 out of 10, do not recommend.
My favorite part of that is you have to jump on the visual in order to see it. So we will have to post a little snippet of that one because I think the dares are so fun. They're easy to do. But it's so fun to see, like, you have some acting skills. Look at you go, you know,
a little bit.
We had a friend who was doing a live cooking class yesterday and her assistant brought her vanilla yogurt. And she made avocado crema out of vanilla yogurt and on her live had to pretend it tasted good. And when I thought of that dare this morning, I was like, I hope
I was on that live.
I want to see it.
I know. I was on that live. And trust me, I was feeling her pain.
Like vanilla and avocado and
Just no. Yeah.
Hard. Negative 900 out of 10.
Exactly.
Well, this podcast has been a 9,000 out of 10. I have loved having you on. Thank you so much for being here with us. Where can we find you?
Thank you so much for having me here. You can find me on all 9,000 social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, everywhere under the name @TheModernNonna. And my website, of course, www.TheModernNonna.com. But you can find me everywhere.
And her website is great. It's completely built out. If I need any recipe quick, I just go straight on the website. It's all there. You know, instead of having to scroll and try to find what I'm looking for, I just go to your website. You've done an excellent job with it. So highly recommend visiting the website.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode, Home CEOs. We hope you enjoyed our chat as much as we did and found some nuggets of wisdom, or at least a good chuckle or a good cry. Remember to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out on our next episode, which I promise brings more laughs, tips, tricks, and a sense of community with lots of enlightening moments. That's what we're here to do. This is the village you've been looking for. Until next time, keep smiling and stay curious. Shine your light wherever you go on those that are dim. They need it the most. Do something kind for somebody else and put a smile on their face. And move your body for someone who can't. In gratitude, you can. You are worthy. You are abundant. You deserve it. And you keep rocking your home like a biz. Cheers to more success, less stress, and less mess. I'll see you next time on The Home CEO.